Please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians in chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Coloss, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, and wherever ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause also we, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul's praying that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul is genuinely desirous that the believers at Coloss would be filled with all wisdom and understanding. Do we engage in petition to the Lord? For the group enlightenment of our group here at West Milton, do we actively ask the Lord to fill us with all wisdom and understanding? That ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful this morning that each one of us has arrived here safely and without major hindrance. And we just praise you that Lord, you put a desire in our heart to be here. We praise you, Father, that we have this place where we can assemble together and where we can come and encourage one another and worship together in spirit and truth as you've called us to. Father, we pray and ask that you would fill us with all wisdom and understanding of the knowledge of your will. God, that you would reveal things that we need, that your Spirit would indwell us in a mighty way. Help us, Father, to consistently petition thy grace, that you would be active in our life. Help us, Lord, to be of a mindset that you would work through us and in us each and every day, and not just on Sunday. Lord, that you would have control of our lives as believers in this world, that we might be a light for you in the cause of Christ. We pray, Father, as we open this book and as we read the word that is your word, that you would bless. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless in the preaching hour, that all things would be done and said according to your will and to thine honor and glory. Remove the flesh, Father, that that as we read the words, that the tendencies of the flesh to taint the spirit would be suppressed. Help us, Father, to be vessels of mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 9 of Colossians in chapter 1, engage in petitioning the Lord consistently that He would enlighten us, fill us with His Spirit, all of us. And we need to pray both for individual and the group and the church. We need to pray for both. We need to ask for both. We need to desire both. If we don't desire both, something might be wrong. You know, there's a reason why the ordinances of the church, why self-examination is a major player. There's a reason for that. We all need spiritual enlightenment. If you think you don't, something might be wrong. We all need it. We all need more wisdom. I've struggled to keep a consistent progressive flow in my thoughts, and I can't do it. I'm going to jump around. I'm going to go one verse and then backtrack, and bear with me. In verse 11, well, let's not skip 10. Let's read verse 9 again. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Brother Paul just prayed that we might be filled. And then he goes on to say, increasing in the knowledge of God. Not receiving and then I'm done. Increasing. It's an ongoing, never ending, increasing in the knowledge of God. You don't ever arrive. Increasing in the knowledge of God. 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Not according to how well I dig in, not according to how studious I am, not according to my skill at deciphering verbiage, but by His power. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Patience is what I wanted to get to here in verse 11. Do you know what that word means? I know what it means when you say patience to me and you say, I was patient with so and so. It means that you put up with some annoyance. That's not what this word means entirely in this book at this point right here. And if I went to the Greek to find this, patience, it has with it in the Greek the word endurance. Much stronger word in my opinion. Endurance, that's physical, that's digging in and staying with it. It's not just trying not to let some annoyance really bother you. It's not just that. It's enduring. It's how do you get endurance? With exercise. You build yourself up to be able to even do that. You don't run 5 miles the first time you go out running. It takes endurance. It takes exercise to get up to that point where you can run 5 miles. Same thing. Patience isn't achieved overnight or in each individual offense that might come across to you. So, well, I'll just be patient. And that brother, that this offense that I've got, that'll just go away. No. Endure. Endurance. Patience is endurance in the Greek. Patience is more than resisting frustration during an exchange with someone who gets on your nerves. It's more than that. Endurance And how much of endurance is psychological? You can read and find stories of people that had tremendous endurance, but it was mostly psychological. It was mostly their mind conditioning. Just a side thought. Does patience have a physical context similar to the definition of endurance? I believe it does. That's the reason it's translated the way it is. There's no mistakes in here. Maybe the right kind of patience has some attributes or qualities similar to endurance. The kind of endurance that Paul displays in these letters. You know, Paul tends to say things and expound on things and then say them again and then expound them a little bit different. Why? He's enduring. He's practicing endurance. If we, as a people and the people of believers at Colossae, if we could just absorb a statement and be good, he wouldn't have to go on and on. But that's not how we are. That's not how this flesh is. This flesh needs exercise. It needs repetition. It needs routine. It needs expounding a little bit this way and a little bit this way. And now I see it. And the Spirit showed me. And praise the Lord for that. If it was easy. Well, it's just not easy. And who said it should be? We think it should be. But that's lazy. I mean, really? I wish it was easier. I mean, I can't help but wish it was easier. But it's not. You know what, though? The reward for the work and the endurance of digging in and attempting to find the blessing of God instead of just asking for it and walking away waiting on it to fall on you. That's not how it works. Digging in and attempting to find that enduring and being patient. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. We pointed out last week that prayer was kind of the first thing brought up here. And it should be. I should be praying for you more. You should be praying for me more. And there's not enough. There's never enough. Oh, Mike, that's impossible. It might be. If you don't try, you won't know. We don't know what we've got in the power of prayer. We really don't know. And I'll get back to that in a minute. Verse number 7. Epaphras. I'm not sure how to say that. Epaphras. Poor fellow. I feel sorry for him in his name. Epaphras was... Let's read verse number 7. As you've also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. I don't know what Epaphras, his technical position was. I don't know what his title was. Doesn't appear like he was a pastor. One commentator said that he was just a companion of Paul. But I know one thing that he really was. He was a faithful minister. A faithful minister, a consistent exhorter. Yeah, I'm back on exhortation again. Sorry. A habitual encourager. Habitual. It was his mindset. A faithful minister. We're going to find out it wasn't just the people at Colossae. His influence reached out. I believe every one of us is responsible to be a faithful minister. Why? Otherwise, if that wasn't true, why are we here? And if we're not meant and called of God to grow together and to help one another grow, why are we here? Paul just complimented Epaphras for his service, his exhortation of the assembly. A faithful minister I don't believe that that title necessarily means pastor or teacher. It might. I don't know. It says faithful minister, and a minister is a servant. One who sees to another's needs. One who is close enough to notice another's needs. A servant's not always just someone who receives orders and follows them. He might know what he needs to do. He should know what he needs to do without being told sometimes. Shouldn't he? Definition of minister, one of the first things is servant of the king or servant of someone else. That carries to me, anyway, the idea that a servant, there's a close relationship there. I'm not just waiting on a to-do list to be a servant and just knock them off and be done. That's part of it, but it's more than that. A faithful minister. I'll give you a peek ahead. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, he's one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them that are in Hierapolis. See how Epaphras, his influence expanded beyond the immediate group he was in. And Paul saluted, and Paul's commending him. Paul is validating Epaphras and his service to the group. He didn't say that Epaphras was, oh, he's such an eloquent speaker and so knowledgeable, and he's so smart and he's got 12 degrees. Uh-uh. Epaphras is a faithful minister. Don't raise Epaphras up like it's some unattainable goal that you can do individually. This is absolutely attainable. Yes, through Christ and the power of grace, yes. We can have that. We have, if you're saved, the power of Christ. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. Paul just complimented Epaphras for his service and exhortation of the assembly. Faithful minister, is that not one of your goals as a believer? Great zeal. Might have been just a member, just a pew sitter, just a faithful prayer warrior. But his influence was dramatic. And I don't see Epaphras standing up saying, yeah, I did that. Because that wouldn't be consistent with the comments that Paul makes about him. All the saints. He mentions two more churches other than Colossus. I think we can go ahead and extend that to you and me right here. I mean, it's in the Word. And it's for us. Back up to verse number 6. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. Talking about the gospel. It's come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. What's bringing forth fruit? The gospel. The gospel is bringing forth the fruit. Not you individually, not me. Not even us together, but the gospel. The gospel is going to bring forth fruit in spite of you and me, with or without you and me. It is. It's going to work. But But notice how Paul validates and commends Epaphras for exhorting and ministering to the assembly immediately in context with bearing fruit. The power is in the Word. The gospel is going to bring forth fruit. And we get to be faithful ministers if we want to be. If that's really our heart's desire, we can do that. Just like Epaphras. Lost my place. Hang on a second. Verse number 10. Why do we want all this? Why do we need all this? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to walk worthy of the Lord? Does it matter what it costs? Does it matter how much effort it takes? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work. Maintain work, exercise, and attitude. Attitude. Mindset of exhortation. You know, good work. The Bible says, be fruitful in every good work, right there in verse number 10. Being fruitful in every good work. Why does it say both? Why doesn't it just say fruitful and stop there? I mean, we know what that is. Or why is fruitful added to good work? You suppose you can do a good work without really being fruitful? I would think so. I mean, just because you say thank you when someone opens the door doesn't mean that from your heart you're really thankful that person was there to open the door. You went through the motion and you did the good work. But is it really fruitful? Am I splitting hairs? I don't know. It's a thought that came to me, and my thoughts are tainted by the flesh. But the Bible says to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What I do know is we're not going to get that or achieve that without a little effort. And if you help me and I help you, we can both go farther. That's exhortation. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Thank the Lord that He has made us meet, equal to, competent for. He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. This is an inheritance. We were born into this. Born again, receive inheritance. How? By God. He made us meet. I don't understand how all that really comes about. I don't understand the mechanics of that. But the Bible says God made me meet to be partakers. We need to exhort one another in this. Here we are. God put us here, this time, at this place. By His power. Not because we deserve something. It's by His power. For some reason. And we're ever increasing in the knowledge of God and God's will. Ever increasing. Always increasing, hopefully. If we're not increasing, why not? Why not? Because we don't pray? Let's Let's turn to James. I didn't want to step out of Colossians, but it happened. James in chapter 1. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. It shall be given him as a fact. Then the only reason I lack wisdom is because I don't ask. And wisdom is not knowledge. I don't have to tell you that. Wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is the talent of discernment and the dispensing of knowledge. Wisdom, knowledge can exchange on the vehicle of wisdom. But a lack of wisdom will ruin that knowledge in its dispensation. Knowledge is affected by the impurities of wisdom. Knowledge may not do you a whole lot of good if you don't have wisdom to use it. Wisdom comes through time, willingness to learn, and once in a great while, God just gives it as a gift. Once in a great while, He just gives it. But mostly, I believe it's through time and willingness to learn. Willingness is a key word there. And asking for it. Here's another thing. It shall be given him, but not necessarily the way you think. It may not be given to you exactly like you think it should be or would be. Your wisdom may come about through any number of different, numerous ways. Trials, usually. Are we willing to do that? Are you willing to ask for wisdom and then take it as it comes? Lord, I don't like the way you're giving me this wisdom. I'm just going to pass on that. You sure? That's what I do. I've done that. Lord, I don't like the way this wisdom's coming down. It's frustrating. It's hard. But I ask for it. And He said He'll give it to me. And He is. He's trying to give it to me. I just don't like the package. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. And don't complain about the package. You know, that's just the way my mind works. I've only got as much as what I've asked for. I need to ask for more wisdom. I need to ask more often for wisdom. I want spiritual knowledge and communion with God. But I don't ask for it often enough. And I think the direct result of that is I don't have it. I thought of this song, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." If we're not desiring a closer walk with the Lord, probably ought to have a checkup. Probably ought to dig in a little bit, see what's wrong in here, right here. You know, let him ask of God and it shall be given. You know, the source is infinite. Brother John gave this one to me last week. 1 Corinthians 2. We'll get back into Colossians here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2 and verse 9. As it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now I know that's maybe prophetic and eternity forward and all the things that we're going to see and know in a glorified body. I agree. You don't think that applies to today at all? I think maybe it does. I believe that applies to right now. We don't know what God's got in store for us. It might be unimaginable, beautiful, wonderful things that we don't have because we don't ask. If you back up in this chapter to verses 4 through 9, you'll find that that wisdom is the subject. And then in verse 14, puts me right on the spot. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And you know what? I still have some natural man in me. This is not just referring to the unsaved. I still have some natural man in me. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Because of the power of Christ, I have the mind of Christ. And that's been dispensed to me. I have His Spirit, but I still have natural man. So whatever Spirit leading that I might get comes down through this natural man and more than likely gets tainted in some form or fashion before it gets out to do any good in the cause of Christ. Natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. Do I ask, do I pray for spiritual discernment, for wisdom? And do I pray for it often enough? Do you think daily is enough? Do you think three times a day is enough? No. My mindset, and pray without ceasing, suggests I need to be asking the Lord for wisdom continually. Continually. Part of my mindset, part of my world view, part of my character. And it ain't going to just happen automatically. I got to work it into my character. I got to train it into my being. If anything from the Spirit gets through this body of flesh and is of any value to the hearers or to the recipient, it's because of grace. It's because of grace. And hopefully, as believers attempting to exhort one another, hopefully our individual flesh is close enough to the Lord that the effects of the flesh on the Spirit leading is minimized. That's the only way it gets minimized. I mean, there's a concept of suppress the flesh, and I get that, but it has to do with how close you're walking consistently with the Lord. You don't have the power to suppress the flesh without Christ. It's not within your adrenaline gland. It's the power of Christ and how close we walk with Christ consistently. Then we get power over the flesh. And the more power we have over the flesh through Christ, the less the Spirit gets tainted as it comes through us and works through us. What if this verse in 1 Corinthians applies to right now? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has even entered into our hearts the possibilities You know what we say, and I've said this before, we say nothing is impossible with God. Do we really believe that? Nothing is impossible with God. We say that and don't believe it. I'm guilty of that. Nothing's impossible with God, except for that one thing. That might be impossible. That guy is really off. Uh-uh. You can't believe nothing's impossible with God with exceptions. That's not how it works. That's not how belief works. That's not how sovereignty works. I get real convicted every time I think that something looks impossible. It's impossible by human standards and human effort, yes. God does amazing things and we don't even know about it. We don't even recognize it. Don't think God's not active right now in this church, in this country, in this world. He chooses to do what He chooses to do, and it is what it is. Don't let that, because you don't see it, don't let that minimize that nothing is impossible with God. Go back to Colossians. Epaphras had a great zeal, a faithful minister, a servant of others first and me last. That was his attitude. Others first and me last. Not a new concept for us here in this room. A concept that we don't do very well, yeah.